The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. We are in full swing on this fifth day of August 2022. Hope all is well with you. We're diving right to your calls. All kinds of stuff going on. There's a heavy anticipation at CPAC, obviously, for the Trump speech over the weekend. That's just going to be glorious. Obviously, a lot of attention, positive conservative attention thrown to him, deservedly so. A lot of positive conservative attention thrown to Ron DeSantis again yesterday for suspending a woke local prosecutor refusing to prosecute things that have been determined by the voters of Florida. I've got the audio of him announcing this sanction against this Andrew Warren in the Tampa Bay area. And then he was on Tucker last night talking about why he did it. This is the value of fighting. People talk about, well, what kind of legislation does a president propose? That's important. What kind of agenda does he lay out? That's obviously important. But one of the great things about Trump is he fought. He fights still. One of the best things you can do to establish a fertile ground for conservative progress is beat down the lies of the left. To fight back against the things that they try to do to obstruct our progress. It's funny, and for a long time, we've had Republicans who just kind of, there's some things we want to do, and they never paid attention. They get their clocks cleaned by the left, and they essentially lay down and say, thank you, sir, may I have another. Trump ended that. Thank God that era is over. The weekend's about to begin, so hey, thank God it's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. So what are a couple of things that make for a good fertile field for a little top of the hour Friday tune? How about an underappreciated British band? Phil Mogg and the boys of UFO. And then throw in a reference to the weather, and it's a natural. Little too hot to handle. Oh, these boys were big players on our dorm floor. Albums like Lights Out. Still catch these guys in a club somewhere. I don't know. I don't know if it's all the original members. Michael Schenker, who had later had the Michael Schenker group named after him, was also on guitar there for UFO in the early days. All right, I got a bunch of stuff in my head, but let's do some phone call action first. You've brought stuff to us. We're always appreciative. 866-660-5759 as we go to Gainesville. Scott, welcome. Happy Friday. How are you?
Real good, Mark. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
I want to challenge you on a couple of subjects. First, real quick, your characterization of Liz Cheney, as I believe you said that she's a self-absorbed narcissist and other things. Couldn't disagree with you more on that.
Why?
She is doing something that she believes is strongly in her convictions. Donald Trump belongs on the scale of accountability for that day. She believes that he's a 10. I might believe that he's a 7 or 8. But Donald Trump has a degree of accountability for that day. If Donald Trump's not a petulant, self-absorbed narcissist, I don't know who the heck is.
Interesting. So, okay, a couple of things, because we've identified a couple of people who are very fond of themselves in certain ways. There is no doubt that Trump loves him some Trump. And anybody who says not a student of his, a casual consumer of events, knows that Trump loves him some Trump. And in doing things that were just absolutely decidedly great for the country, he made sure you knew every day that he did it. And to this day, he is a very, very ardent self-promoter. Absolutely, absolutely right. In Congresswoman Cheney, however, you have someone who is allowed not the desire for Trump accountability. I think that accountability is happening as we speak in the political marketplace, as no small number of conservative Republicans are thinking, God bless you, sir, but we might need to move to DeSantis because of some of the, I don't know, behavioral excesses, undisciplined, unforced errors, the headaches of just some of the needless distractions. I think that accountability is happening. What Liz Cheney seeks is criminalization of something that was not a crime, and the fervent hatred of him that now guides her every step. This is not about accountability or the Constitution. She hates him and has sought to invent out of whole cloth criminality on the part of a man she despises and thinks ill of anyone who dares to disagree. That is self-absorption. That is narcissism. And it is part and parcel of what the entire Never Trump cult displays on a daily basis.
Well, I would just, because I do want to get to another point, but sure. I would just say that so many people that have had contact with Donald Trump have found him very not acceptable. General Kelly, who I would go to war with any day. Other people of great character and integrity.
But what do they all have in common? What do they all have in common? They thought they were going to run things. They thought they could change him. They thought that they, like a lot of people, I'm reading a biography right now of James Baker, one of the great Texans, great Americans, like of all time, and I'm up to sort of his important role in the Reagan administration. I mean, Reagan was president, but Baker was very nearly co-president, more than Bush was, frankly. And all these folks, all of these people who gladly signed on to the Trump agenda and then went dark on him, it was because he didn't care what they thought sometimes, and they just couldn't take it. So, yes, there's some wonderful people who wound up in the Trump agenda, and there wound up being a falling out. And Trump's a hot mess, no doubt about it. But this notion that they're hurt feelings somehow means he's a bad guy. That's insane. I mean, anyway, go ahead, your turn.
Well, then I'll go to the next subject. But any management leadership class I've ever been to, the number one lesson of a good leader is knowing how to listen to your folks that are trying to help.
Scott, he's not running a Walmart. He's running the country. And the most important thing that Trump could do in running the country is bring about the things that were good for the country, whether people in the other party or his own country liked it or not. Thank God he went like a bull through a china shop through that entire agenda. In fact, and we got plenty of time for your next thing because you're a wonderful call and I appreciate you. I always wonder what stuff like this is born of. If we take a look at the things he actually did as president, his actual agenda, the stuff he actually achieved, did you like all of it, part of it, or none of it?
Oh, I most of Trump's presidency, I sign on for.
Okay.
I'm sort of like, it's just sort of like, I think that from a person standpoint, I would not want to be friends or associates with him at all, but from what the results of his presidency were, especially before COVID, the results were, home runs to triple.
So why do you suppose, and I appreciate the answer on that, why do you suppose that the people who really are friends of his, the people who really are close associates of him over a long amount of time, just love him to death? And the only people who have their, shorts in a wad are people that he managed to steamroll on the way through their personal Washington agenda.
Well, I do think that anybody that even, look at how he attacked Kelly and Conway. I mean, if any person went to bat for that man, she did. she puts just a very mild criticisms out there, and he just attacks her mercilessly.
Yes,
that's not a good person.
That's and you know honestly, and the flip side of that explains January 6th. If his actions and inactions of January 6th, if you've loved him for a long time, but then publicly go dark on him, he will bury you. On the other side, I mean, for a day or two, and then probably everything will be okay. On the flip side, if you are an ardent supporter of his, even if you do dreadful things like the rioters did, and this is a character flaw, no doubt about it. That's why he didn't get out there at 1 o'clock and say, "What the hell are you people doing? Stop it. Go home. Are you out of your minds? What's the matter with you?" The reason he didn't do that is those were his people. They, and by that I mean they loved him. They were fighting on what he believed was the right side. Rioting in the process, which you can't do, but that kept him from being as quick to criticize them as maybe you and I would have wanted him to be. That's a part of his personality, and it's not a good one. Let's stipulate that. But up against the backdrop of what he did as president, the actual agenda, the things that actually matter, all this stuff that you have a distaste for, I don't disparage any of it, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't. None of it matters. It's all a sideshow. It's all a sideshow. Anyway, what was number two?
Second thing, real quick. I'm afraid that the Republicans are going to realize a lesson that they learned during the Tea Party nonsense. We candidates matter. The Republicans should have held on to had a great chance of holding on to the governor's mansion in Maryland. They went with a bad candidate. We've gone with three bad candidates in the Senate. You're seeing Walker and Vance and Dr. Oz. You know, we have a much greater chance of losing members in the Senate than we do of taking the Senate.
And so, having spoken a very telling phrase, that phrase being Tea Party nonsense, I would ask you what characteristic in Georgia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, the three states you mentioned, what characteristic do you think these candidates lack that you would like to see candidates display?
Well, who do I want to see them display?
What attributes from Hershey?
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Our senator that we have right here, not Cruz, no. But our senator that we have right here in the state of Texas, I think he displays good characteristics. He knew how to work that firearms bill to the betterment of the country.
Oh, my gosh. What is happening on the show? I have a couple of questions for you. If possible, your call just got even better. So you're on board for majority of the Trump agenda. Great. And yet, you've just uttered the term Tea Party nonsense, a disparaging back of the hand to the movement that absolutely made the Republican Party more conservative, thank God, and are now offering up love for John Cornyn, who, with a long record of really noble, wonderful service during which sometimes he's been overcriticized in this gun thing that I guess you loved, along came his love for red flag laws, which are stone cold unconstitutional. This, I think, and this is, by the way, this is okay. I just don't think you're that conservative, Scott.
Well, I would strongly disagree there. But, you know, let's remember, one of the things that Senator Cornyn said was he commented towards the NRA and about their business model. The NRA was an organization that said to the men and women of law enforcement, "You're jackbooted thugs." And that was the day that I turned in my NRA card. So Senator Cornyn showed some leadership there.
Hang on, two seconds. Well, we will. This, I'm having too good a time, and you are wonderful. Are red flag laws okay?
Do me, Scott, do I have a problem with red flag
yes.
laws?
Yes.
I think that a good legislature can work the kinks out of the bad parts of red flag laws that they should be able to work.
That is.
You all characterize that some crazy judge will sit there and say,
exactly right. They're unconstitutional and unworkable.
I think that a good legislature can.
You're dreaming. All right, get 60 seconds. Go ahead. You wanted to go back to Tea Party. Go right ahead.
Tea Party. You look at candidates. We had a chance to throw Harry Reid out way before his time. Who did the Tea Party put up before? A nut job, an absolute wing nut. The Republicans could have taken Biden's seat. They had a candidate. I forget what the guy's name was, but he was a very strong candidate. It was very likely that he was going to win that statewide election. And the Tea Party went with an absolute wing nut.
So the occasional, and listen, I can make a small list with you, and you'd be right, because candidate quality does matter, and every once in a while there have been maybe Tea Party approved or whoever, you know, whatever, and we've offered up people who might not have been the sharpest knives in the drawer. But to use them as an example to throw disdain at a movement that got us really serious about rediscovering our conservatism, a movement that absolutely gave us Ted Cruz, gave us Rick Scott, gave us Rand Paul, gave us and this is why I think conservatism might be a little bit of kryptonite for you, because I can find a couple of folks that I was not fond of as candidates either, but to cherry pick them in order to bash the Tea Party movement. That's telling, buddy.
Well, hey, all Mark, right. I listen to you every morning. I enjoy your show, challenging, and the shows that you've done on the Apollo program.
Thank you, man.
I always remember listening to that one show. That was riveting radio. You do a great job, and I enjoy you every morning.
I am so grateful. I love you. Appreciate you. Get in touch anytime, Scott. Best to everybody in Gainesville. 826. Speaking of Officer Tatum, he and Larry Elder and Alan West joining me on stage 3 weeks from tonight. Holy cow. What's that about? Uncle Tom 2, the sequel. We will have full details on this hitting our website on Monday, if not sooner. Some of it may be over the weekend. Look at 660amtheanswer.com over at the Angelica in Dallas. That'll be fun. We're going to have some premieres of Uncle Tom 2 and some roundtable discussions with director Justin Malone. I get to MC it, and it's Larry Elder and Officer Brandon Tatum and Alan West. How do you not just love that group of folks? And we're going to be on stage 3 weeks from tonight, Friday the 26th, at the Angelica. Look for 660amtheanswer.com. Again, sit tight till Monday, probably when it all comes out. But I wanted to tell you ahead of time now. All right, here's something I'll tell you right now. Going into the newsroom, I'm Mark Davis, 832. Here's Gordon Griffin. Little Lonesome Dave Peverett offering the Stick 'Em Up invitation for Foghat. Before Slow Ride, before Fool for the City, there was Rock and Roll Outlaw. How I love these boys. Right, hey, so here's, speaking of things I love, the value of fighting. I stumbled across a really good point, so I'll flesh it out a little better for you. And welcome more of your calls, 866-660-5759. And what is important for conservative leaders to do? To have good ideas, good agenda, stuff we want to do, ideas, plans. You know, things that an agenda item, a punch list of things we want to do, you know, stronger borders, lower taxes, pro-life causes, and, you know, just all the things that conservatism teaches. But if in your quest for those things, you don't have a talent for the fight, if you just kind of quietly go about these things, oh, I want lower taxes. Oh, it's bad to turn a boy into a girl. Oh, yeah. You're going to get rolled. You're going to get rolled by the left because they are out there like pit bulls every day. And the thing that was great about Trump is he met them on the battlefield and more often than not beat them. And so moving forward, if Trump's the nominee in 24, well, you're going to get that again. If he's not, and we're left with some decisions to make from DeSantis to Tom Cotton to Mike Pompeo to, you know, Pence and Rubio and some and Nikki Haley, all of whom I like in various ways, but don't check the fighter box for me. DeSantis does. I think Cotton does. I think Pompeo does. You cannot put away the value of fighting. And this is what takes us back. The wonderful conversation I had in the first half of this hour with the gentleman talked about Liz Cheney and just trying to hold Trump accountable, blah, blah, blah. Look, whatever anybody wants to do and having an opinion of him, his agenda, his January 6th behavior, what he did, what he didn't do, that's all fine. It all goes into the mix of analyzing things. But the thing that makes Liz Cheney and her father, I probably have to play this thing again. It'll break my heart to do it. The 60-second Dick Cheney mumbling through why Donald Trump is the most dangerous thing to democracy in 246 years and why the most important thing his daughter will ever do in Congress is not fighting for strong borders. It's not fighting to protect the unborn. It's not fighting to protect the Second Amendment. It's not fighting to make a better economy. It's her bug-eyed fervor to make sure that Donald Trump is not president again. Really? That's number one, Dick? This vice president, this secretary of defense, this chief of staff, this cabinet member, this man I've respected for so very, very long is broken. He is broken. And it's there on display for all to see, all to see. In an ad that he did for his daughter. And I said, listen, I hope this is, you know, excusable, forgivable, blind devotion to the daughter he loves rather than just an extension of the psychological disconnect that this entire family now seems to be experiencing. I'm probably not optimistic about that. So in discussing the fighting spirit, this takes a lot of shapes. Sometimes it can be just like something you say at a speech, something you say you stand for, something you say at a rally. Other times it takes the form of action. And yesterday in DeSantis' world, it took the form of action. There's a state attorney in the Tampa Bay area named Andrew Warren, and for some years now, he has been placing his own personal agenda above the laws of the state of Florida. And we're seeing this across Texas, and we're seeing it in various other states, where there are states who are looking to make gender obliteration illegal. Wish Texas were better at that. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. There are states who are looking at protecting the unborn in ways that we are now able to do now that Roe v. Wade is thankfully dead. And so amid that, we have all these local district attorneys, local state attorneys, who are saying, I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to exercise my discretion, my agenda. I'm not going to devote any attention to looking at this gender obliteration thing because I think it's great if your daughter wants to be your son. I'm not going to pay attention to the new wave of protections for the unborn because I don't care about the life in the womb. You know, the state legislature does. The will of the people is to protect the unborn, but I am a state attorney, and I'm just going to say, you know, I'm not going to pay attention to that. That is what Dallas is going to do this coming week, and I'm going to give them holy hell for it every day. It's what Austin has already done. It's what Denton has already done. This is rogue scofflaw behavior, and in Florida, they got a governor who does the following. He suspended the state attorney, Andrew Warren, who did this. Flat out took him out of his job. That's how you fight. I'll let you hear his comments on that occasion. He was on Tucker last night talking about it, too. Let's do some calls. 866-660-5759. We're in Denton. Anthony. Hi, Mark Davis. Happy Friday. How are you?
Happy Friday, Mark.
Hey.
Hey, I'm getting a lot of heat from both sides of the aisle. my wife started a grooming business for dogs a few years back.
And I think I know where this is going. Oh, no.
Yeah. It's called OK Groomer.
No. I'm so sorry. Oh, that's... No.
Mark, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. But I just,
oh,
I
thank God. Okay, hang on. But I, hang on. I got it. But you, okay, all right. You're just having a little fun with me. But I do need.
Yeah, because I wanted the tagline to be "We are petophiles."
That's bad. For those driving around going, what the heck are those boys talking about? The 30 seconds of that, wherever you want to go, because I appreciate the satire. Groomer is the word of the year. It is being properly attached to people who are involved in this hellacious attempt to make everybody think that it's okay to obliterate gender. These teachers who tell a six-year-old you can choose your gender. These school boards who are saying that it's perfectly great for blue-haired teachers to talk about gender transformation. This is grooming. There was a time, like back in the day, grooming was a kind of a myth that suggested that all the gay people were trying to get out into youth communities and try to get all the kids to turn gay. That was never really the case. And it was also never really going to work. I don't generally think that hanging out with gay people makes you gay. This, however, is more political than orientational. This is an attempt to try to blanket the nation with the notion that this gender obliteration, top surgery, double mastectomies for pubescent girls, chemical castration for boys is awesome. And the attempt to make people feel good about that is called grooming. So the notion that somebody might be involved in the noble profession of pet grooming and that might suffer as a result of a negative connotation. Well played. Okay, where do you want to go?
I was just there. I knew you'd get it.
Most
people I know don't get it.
Oh, and even better. I'm sorry. This is even better. OK Groomer is a direct reference to OK Boomer, which is what the young Gen Xers and Gen Zers say to people like, oh, I don't know, me, whenever we say something sensible. Like, you know, in my day, we got out and we experienced the sunshine. We rode our bikes and we did stuff and we didn't have any cell phone. Yeah, okay, Boomer. Yeah. So just huge love to you. All right, what you got?
Okay. That's all I got. I just wanted to crack you up.
Well, you succeeded. I got to tell you, a double, triple win. Oh, Lord. Somebody really ought to do that. Okay, Groomer. All righty. Well, where was I? All right, 8:47. So I got to think of time to do this. Yesterday, DeSantis, okay, Groomer, talking to gathered reporters about this Andrew Warren and why he got to go.
You don't elect people in one part of the state to have veto power over what the entire state decides on these important issues. The Constitution of Florida has vested the veto power in the governor, not in individual state attorneys. And so when you flagrantly violate your oath of office, when you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty. You have neglected your duty, and you are displaying a lack of competence to be able to perform those duties. And so today we are suspending State Attorney Andrew Warren effective immediately.
Yeah, buddy. That's what fighting looks like.
We are not going to allow this pathogen that's been around the country of ignoring the law. We are not going to let that get a foothold here in the state of Florida. We are going to make sure that our laws are enforced and that no individual prosecutor puts himself above the law.
And this is exactly what we need more of in Texas. This is exactly the kind of we almost get there. In so many ways, we almost get there. And I know Governor Abbott, who we've got to all get behind and make sure that he beats Beto. Let's get him as close to double digits as we can. That might be asking too much. Listen, hey, listen, win by one vote and you win. But I don't want any nail-biter 2% nonsense like Beto had with Ted Cruz in 2018 that'll just further energize the left. I want them broken and dispirited coming out of this election cycle so they can think, oh, dang, I guess Texas is a reliable red state. Wah, wah, wah. That's what I want. But here's the thing. And I know Abbott and his people, they grow so weary of everybody just showering all this love at DeSantis. So I've got a really great idea for Abbott and every single one of his people. You get tired of people talking about DeSantis? Be more like him. You get tired of people talking about all the stuff that DeSantis does that Abbott doesn't quite find the will to do? Do it. Make this gender nonsense illegal. Have a special session right now, that says we're going to make this gender obliteration illegal. Why in the world would somebody not do that? And the way to have people stop making those comparisons is to do better in those comparisons. How about that? 850.
Did you ever take a look, see who's left around? Everyone I thought was cool, 6 feet underground. Don't you know they tried to get me lots of times, and now they're reaching out for you. I got out.
It's an old Johnny Winter song. Still alive and well.
Still alive and well.
When originally recorded at Rick Derringer on the guitar in that Johnny Winter band. Here's Derringer solo with it. Rick Derringer is 75 today.
Every now and then,
it's kind of hard to tell. Okay, look, let's cruise up into the top of the hour news. Hit it on time. Come back. DeSantis was on Tucker last night talking about the suspension of Andrew Warren. We've got some of the overnight journalism on the, you know, it's funny. People have said that Kyrsten Sinema caved, right? Because she is going to join Joe Manchin and become a henchwoman, a co-conspirator, become complicit in this horrible tax and spend nightmare that the Biden forces want you to think is there to fight inflation, which it's not. The definition of caving is like to have principle. I mean, if I suddenly decide that I like illegal immigration, that's caving. If I suddenly grow cavalier about protecting the unborn, that's caving. Caving is having some standards and having them collapse, having some beliefs and having them falter. If Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema fall in with Democrat allies, that's just them headed to their normal corner, reverting to their default settings. They didn't cave. They simply became Democrats, which they've always been. 858.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.